The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello everybody, Bill Buckmaster along with my friend and longtime producer-engineer Ray Allen on the other side of the glass, and together we team up to present The Buckmaster Show each weekday during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice with our worldwide live listening. A couple of places, my website buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com on this, our midweek edition. It is the 10th of January, 2018. Hope the week is going well for you. 790-2040, anytime during the hour, if you would like to join in on the live line. We're going to go right to the live line right now and introduce to the Buckmaster Show listeners our newest contributor. He's one of 24 people we're very honored to have on board the Buckmaster Show as regular contributors to the program. The full listing with their bio and picture is at buckmastershow.com. He's Dr. Bill Doley. Dr. Doley is president and CEO of Archaeology Southwest, a nonprofit organization based here in Tucson. And Dr. Doley is calling us today on the live line from Tumacockery. How are you, Dr. Doley?
Very good. It's nice to escape the office for a few minutes.
You're down there with a group at the Tumacockery National Historic Park, which was established by President Theodore Roosevelt, September 15th, 1908, is a national monument under the Antiquities Act. So it's very appropriate that you would be on the live line from that park, because that Antiquities Act, of course, is under fire, especially in Utah, by the Trump administration.
Yes, indeed. We've been following several sessions on your show here, have dealt with the Bears Ears National Monument down in southeastern Utah. And I hope that's where we can go to get some updates today.
Well, that's what I want to begin with, Bears Ears. The Trump administration, from what I understand, Bill, wants to reduce it, downsize that monument by about 85%, correct?
Indeed. In fact, it's not just wants to, but on December 4th, President Trump actually flew out to Salt Lake City, had Orrin Hatch, their prime senator, at his side, and made a declaration under the Antiquities Act to take the 1.35 million acres of Bears Ears National Monument, which had been established by a declaration from President Obama in December of last year. And the Trump proclamation downsized Bears Ears to two discontiguous or non-contiguous areas that total now 202,000 acres. So much, much smaller. And the role of the Native American proponents of Bears Ears is also substantially reduced in this new monument.
And this is an area that your organization, Archaeology Southwest, has been very much involved with. There are several Native American nations that this is pretty much sacred land, isn't it, Bill Doley?
That was an explicit statement in the Obama proclamation, that this is a cultural landscape that is sacred to definitely the five tribes who were actively promoting the monument. That would be Navajo Nation, Hopi, Zuni, and two Ute nations, as well as many other tribes have expressed their respect and connections to that area. So strongly valued by Native communities. The archaeological resources of that area are absolutely incredible. There are cliff dwellings where the walls are still standing, paint on the walls. It's almost as if they were you were there just a few days after people left back in the year 1250 or so. Rock art is world class, both pictographs that depict all sorts of in colors, many sorts of things that you can imagine being spirits or human representations. Hands are a really common element in the rock art there. Just a really, really amazing place. And yes, it's many of those areas that were in the Obama monument, the 1.35 million acres, simply are outside. Over 6,000 known archaeological sites are no longer included and protected by national monument status.
In your career, long career in archaeology, would you say this is one of the richest sites for archaeology, certainly in North America?
This, I would be happy to endorse that proposition. It's people have sort of scratched their heads as why didn't this get set aside as a national monument earlier? There was an effort back in the 1930s, even back in 1903, someone was saying this place needs to be protected. So it's been discussed for a long time, and I think what really is especially unique and unfortunate in this case is that this was five tribes using the Antiquities Act that's been around for over 110 years now to lead the charge, to say that this place is so important to us that the Antiquities Act should be used for what it was originally established, which is to celebrate our history. And the Trump downsizing, or we're actually calling it a revocation proclamation, really disrespects that tribal momentum and goals.
I see that Patagonia, the outdoor clothing giant, and other retailers now are jumping into the legal and political battle over the plan to shrink Bear's Ears and the nearby Staircase Escalante National Monument, which would be cut in half. That's under the Trump administration, wants that done. Is there going to be one general, like one big lawsuit, or are there quite a few small ones involved here?
Well, that's a good question. There were immediately the same day of the evening of Trump's proclamation, the five tribes filed a lawsuit that same day. There were two other lawsuits, one of which Archaeology Southwest, that Patagonia one that you mentioned, is one that we are a plaintiff on. So there's three major lawsuits out there trying to say that President Trump, the Antiquities Act can be used to create national monuments. It cannot be used. You've exceeded your authority under the Antiquities Act to try to revoke or substantially redefine a national monument. So it's likely that the three of those will get somehow rolled together. They'll still be separate suits, but they will probably proceed as a triumvirate rather than three separate tribes or three separate trials.
Where you are right now at the Tumacacori National Historic Park, tomorrow on the program, Bill Doley will be talking with the people from Tubac, the head of the Chamber of Commerce and the person who is now head of the Tubac Historic Park. They're going to be offering one-day tours now of Tubac and Tumacacori. That's going to be on a quarterly basis, and we'll be giving our listeners all the details for that. And for folks who haven't been down there to Tumacacori, this is a beautiful site, isn't it?
It's gorgeous. It's a little sort of partly cloudy today, but the way that the grounds are laid out here, experiencing places of the past that's something that Archaeology Southwest really likes to encourage. The Park Service, who manages this monument, does a great job of, we had a wonderful tour this morning with four young students, and they do a really great job of helping you connect to the deep history of this part of the world. We are so fortunate to live where we are.
And I think this may be one of the smallest National Historic Parks in the United States, the Tumacacori facility.
It is small. I mean, it started as just, maybe 20-some acres, and it's been expanded. And I think that this is an example where national monuments often start as a monument, and they're recognized as important places, and Congress later turns them into national parks. This park has actually been expanded. It had a 360-acre expansion recently. They're now actually connected back to the Santa Cruz River. So this is turning into a small little cultural landscape down here under the Park Service guidance.
All right, Bill Doley, welcome aboard, by the way. We're delighted to have you as a regular contributor to the program.
I am proud to be here. Thank you, Bill.
And where can people get more information about your organization, Archaeology Southwest?
Well, it's archaeologysouthwest.org, all one word for Archaeology Southwest, and we spell archaeology with two A's. So that second A is A-R-C-H-A-E-O-L-O-G-Y.
Thank you. And I've made that mistake myself. Thanks a lot. Bill Doley with us on the live line from Tumacockery National Historic Park. 12:15 now on the Buckmaster Show. Mitch Tobin, our environmental correspondent, joins us next from Denver. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. And improved mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future. More at rtamobility.com. An Indian food lover's paradise awaits at Indian Twist, located at the southwest corner of Swan and Camp Lowell, with a varied and extensive menu including vegetarian options and many dishes prepared in the tandoor oven. Indian Twist offers takeout and buffet lunch daily, with dinner served family style. The full bar features Indian beers on tap. Visit Indian Twist, southwest corner of Swan and Camp Lowell.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Thursday during the noon hour, our spotlight is on historic Tubac. Also, we'll get an update. How's the air quality been in the Tucson Valley? Buckmaster, we air during the noon hour each weekday on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030, KVOI. I've got our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Bill Buckmaster with you. I'll be over at that grand opening tonight for the Indian Twist restaurant. Can't wait. Love Indian food. Southwest corner, Camp Lowell and Swan, and IndianTwistAZ.com. I'll be over there about 6 o'clock tonight, and hope to see all of you over there as we get the ball rolling at Indian Twist. Let's go now back on the live line to Denver. Mitch Tobin is the Buckmaster Show environmental contributor. Mitch, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. It's good to be on the show.
Well, we're a little disappointed here, Mitch. We were expecting some better rain, a better rainmaker than we got here. This is the first kind of measurable rain we've had here in many weeks. I'm looking at the numbers right now, Mitch. Marana had about a half an inch, Oro Valley a little over a half an inch. But the official recording station, the airport, just a trace. So I would say overall very disappointing. Are you finally getting some snow up in Denver?
We have also had a very dry stretch here in Denver, and it is supposed to start snowing today in the mountains. Not as much here on the plains in Denver, but there is a storm that's coming in from the Pacific that's going to deliver some much-needed snow here in Colorado. The snowpack is definitely below average. It depends on where you are in the state, but certainly in the southwest portion, areas around Durango and Telluride, they're looking at snowpacks that are 20, 30, 40% of average. And just generally for the Colorado River Basin, which is important for Tucson's water supply, the predictions are that the flows in the critical runoff season are going to be quite low because there has been such little snowfall in places like Colorado and Utah and other parts of the upper basin.
How has that been in the past? If we're looking at if the snowpack in the upper Colorado River Basin is going to fall to 65% of average this week, how was it last year? Did we have a good year up there?
Well, you know, this year began similar to last year in that it started out very slowly. But last year, right about Thanksgiving, it really started to snow. And boy, for about 4 or 5 weeks, it seems like it didn't stop snowing. But here, we just didn't get that influx of snow. And so it's been pretty dry from the start. Now, there's this storm coming in now, and it appears that maybe toward the end of next week, the pattern will be shifting. But certainly in California also, in the Sierra Nevada, it's been very dry there. It's been wetter in the northern tier states in the Pacific Northwest. And this is sort of what you would expect with a La Nina in the Pacific, where it tends to be wetter in the Northwest and drier in the Southwest. And right now, basically all of the Four Corners region is in drought, and it's especially bad right around the Four Corners. But all of Arizona right now is either in what's classified as a moderate or severe drought. So because of that La Nina, the expectation is it's going to stay dry in places like Arizona. But it remains to be seen. I mean, the winter is not over yet. We tend to get a lot of our snowpack in not only in Colorado, but certainly in places like California from these atmospheric rivers that sometimes hit the West Coast and transport a huge amount of moisture. And so there are these big events that really contribute a lot. We haven't seen that yet this year. Certainly last year there were a bunch of them and led to some pretty serious flooding in California. But, you know, time is running out. We're not going to be building the snowpack here in June or July. We've only got a few more months in which you would expect to have snow. And that snow here in the upper basin is really important to the Colorado River. So much of that river is dependent on snowmelt.
One of the key factors as we keep an eye on the water conditions for Arizona is Lake Mead outside of Las Vegas. How is the lake doing so far this year?
So, Lake Mead has been in decline for quite a while. Just reading a story this morning, found this figure that it has dropped more than 130 feet since 2000. And, of course, you can see that with the big bathtub ring. Now, last year, we had a fairly wet year, certainly in California, but also really, you know, in the upper basin. And so the levels recovered a little bit. But right now, it's not looking so good in terms of continuing that upward climb in terms of the reservoir levels. In fact, it's likely to go down because flows are likely to be below average, leading to the reservoirs like Mead and Powell.
Can you explain for us this the federal shortage declaration that can happen on Lake Mead? How does all of that work?
Well, it's a fairly complicated setup with all of these states in the Colorado River Basin, seven states that are sharing the water, essentially, and these agreements go back almost a century. And so the big concern that has been around for quite a number of years and has been mounting as we've had all of these dry years in the last decade or two is that eventually you would get to a shortage, in which case there would have to be cuts to the deliveries of water in the lower basin states. And Arizona stands to lose because in order to get the Cap Canal built and that whole project approved, there was this humongous Supreme Court battle, and eventually the legislation was passed, and the sort of deal that was struck is that Arizona had junior rights to that water. And so there is an attempt for Arizona, Nevada, and California to come up with a plan to sort of share the sacrifice if there is a shortage declaration. And, you know, last year it being wet provided a little bit of a relief valve, but it seems that the pressure is on again because, again, it looks like it's going to be a fairly dry winter. And overall, there is what people refer to as a structural deficit in the Colorado River. And what that really means is basically the amount of water that nature is supplying every year is less than the amount that people are pulling out of the river. And, you know, we would expect the precipitation in the basin to go up and down. That's just part of the nature of this part of the world. And we've built these reservoirs certainly to capture the water in the good times. But, you know, much like a business, if you're running at a deficit or have a negative cash flow year after year, you're not going to stay in business for that long. Eventually, you need to have that income coming in. And likewise, you eventually need to have some wetter years in order to fill those reservoirs in this very complicated plumbing system that is the Colorado River.
Well, you've got some, as you say, you probably are going to get some snow from this system that really dumped a lot of rain in Santa Barbara County. Too much rain all at once, you know, that old feast or famine. This is what had been the big concern after the fires, if there was a big rain event, which this turned out to be. Some parts of Santa Barbara County recording up to 5 inches of rain. So that deluge just sent just about everything down the hill with really nothing to break the fall, correct?
Correct. And I mean, you've seen that in Arizona, certainly the cases in which there's been wildfires and then it's immediately followed by the monsoon season. And so if you have a thunderstorm park over an area that's been burned, especially if it's been burned severely, it makes the soil very, very almost water repellent, hydrophobic, people even refer to it. And so that water just runs off very quickly and causes huge problems in terms of, you know, mudslides, debris, flooding. And so, it's sort of a double whammy when you get hit first by a wildfire and it does damage, and then the second punch is potentially when there's flooding. And that flooding actually, you know, can really cause not only killing people, but about 15 people at least have died in Southern California. But it also causes big problems just with, you know, water infrastructure, transportation infrastructure. And so the flooding can be as bad as the fire. especially if it's a very intense fire and, you know, incinerates the vegetation that would normally, you know, help absorb that rainfall that's coming in.
Well, we've had this high pressure dome over us for really, it's gone on and on, months really. And it's made for one, I think last year was the warmest, some of the warmest temperatures on record here in Tucson. And so we've been above normal most of the time. And also, it's not just Tucson. Sydney, Australia had the hottest temperature ever recorded in since they'd been keeping records. It was 117. In Sydney earlier this week. So, Mitch Tobin, let's hope you got some snow. We appreciate what you do for us. Happy New Year to you, and thanks, Mitch.
Thank you, Bill. Happy New Year.
Thanks a lot. Mitch Tobin, our Buckmaster Show environmental contributor. All right, coming up next, we will find out about what's going on with the Tucson City Council voting to make texting and driving a primary offense. We'll find out from Steve Kasachek, Tucson City Councilman, Democrat, Ward 6, right after this at 12:30. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Bon Voyage Travel's 2018 Travel Showcase is back. With over 30 travel companies to share their knowledge and a room full of travel professionals, you can't go wrong. Planning the perfect vacation takes time and involves quite a bit of research. Bon Voyage Travel is here to simplify the process and ensure you always receive the best value. Join us February 3rd at La Paloma from noon to 4 p.m. There will be presentations, exclusive offers, prizes, and a show floor giving you the opportunity to have a one-on-one consultation with us. Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Five minutes now toward 1 o'clock on our midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show, presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. They've pretty much been with us since the beginning of the Buckmaster Show when we kicked it off. We're into our eighth year now, so they've been with us most of the time. And we thank them very much, and they want all of the Tucson community to know that Silver City is just a three-hour drive basically over to a really pretty part of the southwestern United States. Go to their website. Please give it a visit, southwestnewmexico.org. You will be tempted with the many recreation opportunities listed there and some great places to stay as well. Ward 6, Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek, Democrat, with us now on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. How did your holiday go, Councilman?
I rung in the new year laying in bed with the flu.
You're kidding. Did get it.
Other than that, it was just great.
Okay, so hopefully you're on the recovery. And by the way, this is the number of cases, Steve, that have been reported is really at a record level for this time of the flu season here in Arizona. So the health officials tell us it is not too late to get a flu shot.
Yeah, and that's the number of cases reported, and how many of us don't even bother reporting.
Yeah.
To just stay home and be miserable, you know, knowing how to take care of it. So, yeah, you're right.
What about being on the phone and not on, you know, if you have a hands-free device doing your phone calling, I guess that's okay, but putting that phone up to the ear, a device, is that going to be a primary offense in the city of Tucson?
It is, and I think it should have been 7 months ago when we drafted or adopted the ordinance as a secondary offense. You talk to the police, you talk to the fire chief, the paramedics, and they will tell you that it's virtually worthless as a secondary offense. A secondary offense simply means that the officer has to see you doing something other than being on the phone or using your tablet or iPad or whatever it is before he can pull you over. As a primary offense, that can be the reason for being pulled over. So, we will get yesterday we voted on it. It was 4-2 to make it primary. We made one other change, though, and that was, I think, fairly significant. The goal is not to break the bank or become confiscatory with people. It's really education and sending the message that when you're behind the wheel in your car, we want your hands on the wheel and your head on the road. Figuratively. And so we changed the fine structure. As a secondary offense, the first offense was $250, and then it jumped up to $500. To make sure that two things are happening, number one, we're not really being punitive in terms of the level of fine, but also number two, that officers are not offered a disincentive to even cite somebody. We dropped the first offense down to $50, the second offense to $100, and then it jumps to $250. That is consistent with what Oro Valley already has on the books, and both Oro Valley and the county have had this as a primary offense for some time now. So Tucson is not leading on this. I believe we should have, but we're following the rest of the region. There will now be a consistent policy throughout the region, Pima County, Oro Valley, saying that if you're driving your car, stay off the phone and just focus on getting from point A to point B safely.
What if you get a call on the phone? Would it be then just the proper procedure to, for safety's sake, just to find a place to pull off the side of the road? Is that it?
Yeah, get out of traffic. Just get out of traffic and take your call or call them back later. I mean, you know, 10 years ago when you and I were just a little bit younger than we are now, and by the way, happy birthday, you successfully passed that magic 70.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Thank you.
without having to fly westward for infinity.
It caught up with me eventually.
Yeah, it did. Eventually, yeah, around Greenland. So,
there you go.
Yeah. So, no, back in the day, before cell phones existed, we seemed to be operating pretty sufficiently by conducting our business while we were not driving our cars. And so, and frankly, this isn't just about cell phones. I mean, people, you know, the whole notion of electronic devices, the technology has just so far outstripped the our ability to kind of keep pace with it from a regulatory standpoint. People are surfing the internet, they're on GPS systems, they're doing Twitter, they're doing Snapchats, and all the different ways people communicate on social media now, that you just don't need to be doing that while you're driving a chunk of steel down the road. We got pedestrians, we got bike riders, we got other motorists, and let's just do it safely.
And, of course, there was a complaint. This was not unanimous. Councilwoman Romero was concerned that that Black and Latino drivers might be disproportionately impacted and questioned the effectiveness. And she was worried about profiling, but I guess the police chief says there's been virtually no profiling complaints recently in town.
No, we have had this on the book as a secondary offense for something like 7 months now. Chief Magnus not only looked at our own internal records, but they even reached out to the ACLU and said, are you getting any kind of calls at all about TPD and the way we're treating the minority community? And the answer was no. And so we drafted into the to the motion that I made a request from Councilwoman Romero that we come back in 9 months and look to see if that's if it's having that impact. As I said yesterday at the study session, I will say it again, I am absolutely certain that when we go back and look at the data 9 months from now, we will see that the Tucson Police Department is not using our cell phone ban or our hands-free ordinance to racially profile. And Bill, quite honestly, there are, 1,200 laws on the books right now. If TPD wants to cherry-pick a law and use it to profile, they could do it today. They don't need this to do that.
When will the law take effect?
We will get from the city attorney the redraft of the ordinance, I'm guessing, on January 23rd. That's our next meeting, and vote to finally adopt it, and so it'll be in effect at by the end of the month.
What is going on with the so-called Sunshine Mile? Can you kind of bring us up to speed on this? I know the city has been acquiring property in that area between Euclid Avenue and Country Club Road now for years in preparation for widening that street. What is the latest on this?
Well, the latest is as of this morning, I spoke with the city manager, and yesterday during the study session, I raised the issue as well. And we have a couple of things going on. Number one, you are correct. The city real estate people are out meeting with property owners along the Broadway corridor saying this project is coming and it is going to impact your business. Now, in the cases where the alignment, the road alignment is going to sever a building, that clearly is a full take, and that building owner, the property owner, is being offered relocation rights as per law. And some of them have already been relocated. In cases where the business is losing property, losing parking, or losing access in ingress egress, those kinds of things that are more operational, but the building is left standing, it's a different conversation. And the frustration that I have is this: we are continuing to have the conversations with business owners saying, "We're taking all your parking." You therefore have these relocation rights, and if you don't sign an agreement with us, then we will begin condemnation proceedings on your building by, say, the middle of summer, because we have to come in and begin moving utilities. That, in the normal course of events, would be how this kind of a roadway project moves forward. The difference with this one, though, is that we have engaged Rio Nuevo. Remember, the Broadway corridor all the way out to nearly Wilmont is a part of the TIF district. So Rio Nuevo has the ability to purchase properties and repurpose them as long as they're generating tax income back to the district. That's the provision in state law that, they have to, number one, have ownership, public ownership, and number two, that it's a tax-generating property. The conversation that has not been happening yet that has caused me frustration is that we're giving this notice to business owners that they need to relocate, but Rio has not had the opportunity yet to step up to the plate and meet with the business owners and say, here are some remedies that we could offer you. If we take title of the property, we can remedy your parking issue by buying, say, for instance, three buildings, taking one of them down, saving two of them, and the third one was where the parking will go. Those conversations, I spoke with Mike Ortega this morning, the city manager, and I said that piece of the conversation is not happening, and so we are not giving the business owners the full spectrum of what their options are by simply saying you need to vacate. He assured me this morning that he was going to meet with Fletcher McCusker from Rio Nuevo and meet with the people from the RTA and make sure that we're checking that last box. And so before a business owner on Broadway signs on the dotted line saying, I either want to relocate or buy me out, they have all of their options in front of them. And that final option is, here's how we can save your building, and here's how we can keep your business operating. That's the frustrating part that hasn't been happening, and it will now.
I want to talk a little bit more about this. I've got a couple of questions, but I do need to take the break, and gladly so, because the people you're about to hear from are the people that make this program possible. Councilman, please stick on the line one more segment for us. We'll be right back to you.
Okay.
All right, we'll be right back.
Do you love a great deal? Do you love animals? Then you need to shop at the Humane Society of Southern Arizona's thrift store. Located at 5311 East Speedway, the HSSA thrift store has something for everyone, like new furniture provided by the wonderful team at Sam Levitt's, clothing, housewares, vintage items, and of course, pet supplies. Hurry into the HSSA thrift store at 5311 East Speedway and see what surprises are waiting for you.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in T-U-S. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit Biosphere 2. www.greenvalleynews.org.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. If you'd like to join us on the live line, the number is 790-2040. Hey, why not spend part of your Saturday morning at Green Things, 3384 East River Road? Spend the morning learning about planting a terrarium and drinking complimentary mimosas. Sounds very interesting. So that's from 10 to noon, Saturday morning, 3384 East River Road, Green Things, one of their fine free workshops this Saturday. We have on our live line Steve Kasachek, Ward 6, Tucson City Councilman, Democrat. We've been talking before the break about this so-called Sunshine Mile between Euclid Avenue and Country Club. The people with the National Trust for Historic Preservation, Councilman, believe there are several buildings of historic significance. So when it's all said and done, how many buildings will be saved?
Well, that's the goal, and that's the unknown right now, is that when we began this process, what the voters were offered in 2006 was an 8-lane, 150-foot-wide roadway that would have taken down virtually all the buildings on the north side of the road between Euclid and Country Club. That, based on the traffic counts, we know that expanse, that size of road, is not necessary. It's not needed. It also pinches down to four lanes when it gets to the underpass heading into downtown. So it made no sense. So it has been somewhat modified to six lanes, about 125 feet. The goal is to save as many of these buildings as possible. I'm hoping that we can save all of them that want to stay. I mean, the small business owners who have really been the lifeblood of that corridor for years and years, many of them destinations for their surrounding residents and people who've just gotten used to going to Tucson Tamale and some of the other small businesses along the stretch, want to keep going there. So I don't have a direct answer to the quantity, but Rio Nuevo did go out and with our approval and spent $25,000 with a group called Project for Public Spaces to go and meet with the business owners and meet with the residents and all the stakeholders, do a walking tour of the corridor, and they now have a presentation that they're ready to make to show. For instance, what are some of the things we could do with Solat Plaza or some of the bungalows a little further west? Maybe move them back off the roadway and have Rio Nuevo invest in preserving them as small retail outlets on an adaptive reuse basis. And so we have these players who are ready to weigh in, and those are the group that I'm trying to get to the table so we can really start to engage these conversations in ways that preserve the small businesses that really want to do stay.
And I think this reconstituted Rio Nuevo Board, and I think you would agree with me on this, has really turned the downtown situation around. One thing that's not widely understood is that it's a corridor, and it doesn't just end in what we traditionally think of as downtown Tucson.
Right, and so the current Rio Nuevo Board is working very, very productively with us, with the county. You've already seen them working with the county with respect to Caterpillar. There's more of that to come in the downtown core. But you're right. I mean, the Rio Nuevo district runs all the way up Broadway, principally on the north side of the road, but all the way up Broadway to Park Place. And that element of the district has not been exploited for economic development because really they've been struggling to find their focus in downtown. We really have a good thing going in the downtown core now, and they have a good relationship as well with the state legislature, which was not true 7 or 8 years ago when the legislature was really, and we didn't either. I mean, the legislature was trying to shut the district down. We were all in litigation. It was just a bad set of relationships. That has all changed, and the district right now is looking for ways to expand their purview, and if they can incrementally do that by moving to the east and doing it on the north side of Broadway, save a few local businesses, that'd be cool.
You know, I've been reflecting because I came to town this second time around. I came out here in the 60s the first time for the U of A, but came to town 30 years ago last week. And I've been reflecting, what is the biggest thing that's happened over those 30 years, in my opinion? And I would have to say the transformation with Rio Nuevo, which got off to, as you know, just a disastrous start downtown, into what downtown has become in a real destination for many people, including a lot of millennials.
Right. And that last point that you made is so key. When this sort of revitalization began, I'll call it 7 years ago, because that's really when it began to be kickstarted. The impetus was largely student housing and some entertainment venues, some entertainment venues in terms of theater, but also in terms of bars and that kind of thing. So the mindset at the time was that we're building downtown for students, and it'll be a bunch of bars and nightclubs. That has fundamentally changed. We have now market-rate housing. We have condos. We have millennials. We have people moving from the foothills who just want to downsize, boomers who no longer want to have to maintain a 2,000 or 3,000 square foot house out in the foothills. And so the demographic downtown, including the entertainment options, is fundamentally changing. We have the AC Marriott. We're about to kick off another hotel on the east side of the convention center. We have the work going on at La Placida around the cathedral site. So there's a wide variety of housing options, which means a wide variety of demographics happening in and around the downtown core. So what you said is exactly spot on. And that is that downtown revitalization is not simply students. It's a multitude of demographics, a multitude of retail. The tax base right now is expanding. That's going to allow Rio Nuevo and the city and the county to continue to work in cooperation with each other to keep this economic development moving.
I think this is going to be a very bright tourism season. This is, of course, prime time. You look at what's been going on with the weather back east in areas where you and I come from. People want to be out here. We've got I believe this gem show is the biggest ever coming up. It's expanded. This is good. People over the years have said, oh, well, there's been this and that problem. But I think the gem show is certainly here to stay.
Oh, yeah. That was chatter. There's not a gem show. There are 40 or 50 different gem show vendors are in and around downtown and up on Stone and out about around the Hollow Dome. And so they're all over the community. And that group is not going to pick up and jump ship. But just to further drill down on your comment, though, yeah, it is a big deal for the downtown core. There are two major ones that happen at the TCC, and they take that over. We've got one over where on the old Greyhound site, the Allen Norville site. There are multiple gem shows happening in the downtown core, and that's coming up next month, and it's a huge economic kick for us locally. And so, yeah, they're not going anywhere. And having a new hotel, having another one on the books is also going to help that series of events continue to stay here and be successful.
All right, out of time, but how's the financial picture look as we begin the calendar year?
Well, we're structurally balanced, but my number one priority is the recruitment and retention of both public safety units, police and fire, and making sure that we keep our water security in good standing for the rest of the community. So we'll start those budget talks here at the end of the month on the 26th.
Steve Kasachek, always a pleasure. Thank you very much, and I hope it's a great new year for you, sir.
You too. Thanks a bunch. Take care, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Steve Kasachek, Ward 6, Tucson City Councilman, with us on the Buckmaster Show. And tomorrow, as I mentioned earlier, we're going to talk about Tubek and Tumacockery. They're about to launch, they'll announce it tomorrow on the program, these special one-day tours of that very historic area. That's coming up tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show. Full lineup as usual. This afternoon, 4 to 5. Mic check with Mike Shaw. Ray Allen helps out there. The two of them do a great job. Wake up Tucson 6 to 9, and then me, Bill Buckmaster. Ray will be back with me, and together we wish you a great afternoon and evening.